And hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana. I hope you filled up your cup really tall today.
To the brim, man.
Good.
To the brim.
And it, knowing you, it's probably something sparkly.
Yeah, oh, yes. Something nice and refreshing. Yes.
It is a Tuesday. We are in spring, right? I think spring officially started over the weekend.
Yes, if you can believe it.
I know. The weather doesn't quite tell us that yet, does it?
No, it doesn't. California, we don't have seasons.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, we do have some listeners, according to our statistics, one from Canada.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Do they even get spring up there?
Well, that's a good question. We should ask them.
Let's call a Vancouverite up or an Ottawadian or a Quebecer or a Montrealian.
Uh-huh.
Is that all
and
the cities?
We'll ask them.
A what?
And then we'll, we will ask them. Yeah.
Yeah. When does spring come for you? And they'll be like, well, there's 5 hours sometime in late July when the temperature gets warm enough that the ice breaks.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other person from our statistics, Panama.
Whoa. Okay.
I figure it's someone working on the canal because I assume that's the only job in town, right? I mean, I don't know what, I can't think of, other than the hats, what else comes from Panama? Anybody know? You know?
They'll have to email us and let us know. They have to educate us.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, what's going on out there?
I mean, you got the canal. There's always work to expand the canal. They make those Panama hats. I don't know anyone from there, amazingly. Because, obviously, living here in Southern California, there's a lot of people from Central America. So I think I got all the other countries covered in my bingo card. But we'll have to see. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know, guys.
Exactly. So, yes, spring is upon us. Better temperatures. Supposedly the sign that it's, getting closer to summer. And, of course, spring means what? Spring break.
Spring break. Spring breakers.
Yes. I guess I was never, here's my crazy spring break was my second senior year. So my last year, me and one of the other RAs in the hall decided we were going to go to Washington, D.C. to see like monuments and stuff like that. Didn't book hotel rooms or nothing like that. But it was the year that a big snowstorm hit Georgia and Virginia and all that area. So because that was hitting at the time we were leaving, we decided we'd go the other way. So we went from Wisconsin down to St. Louis. Because when you think of spring break, you think of St. Louis. What a fun town that was.
Okay.
I mean, we did go up. Of course, we did everything you'd do in St. Louis. We went up the arch and came back down. I believe they had casino riverboat gambling. So we did that. And then we went to what used to be the train station called St. Louis Station, I think, if I remember right. And is now a like an indoor-outdoor mall. So we went there too. So that was my big spring break.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You're hearing the excitement, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing it from you too.
Actually kind of dozed off there for like
I know
minute.
Wait, hold on now. Here now at the same time we are both looking for jobs to be like hall directors because we're graduating. So we knew a friend at Indiana State University, powerhouse of course. Larry Bird went there. Nobody else went there. And we had friends who had become like hall directors there. So we guess, you know, on our drive back to Wisconsin, we kind of headed eastward instead of going back north and went to Terre Haute, Indiana, where Indiana State University is. You know what else comes out of Terre Haute?
Yeah.
No. Remember the good old Columbia Record Club?
Remember the Company or Club?
I think it was the Columbia Record Club.
Oh, okay.
Remember the little inserts in like the TV guide? Get
can order the
get
the,
six CDs for the price of one.
I remember, yes.
And join
the
a
mail
club?
Order club. Yes. Yes. Uh huh.
They're they're out of Terre Haute. Yeah.
Oh.
And then we went to Purdue, and they were unfortunately on spring break, so the town was actually relatively quiet. And then we said, well, we ought to get home. So that took like 5 days of my spring break. Yeah, no, Southern Florida Padre or any of these fun times where everyone goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, secret located tattoos that you might have gotten or, you know, crazy stories.
No, I don't think so. I think the craziest thing we did is I bought this inflatable dinosaur. Throw that in right away, people.
Yes.
So, yes an inflatable dinosaur.
Get that straight.
And he traveled with us throughout the whole trip in the car.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so that's my big spring break trip time.
My word. You know, we might have to spice that up a little bit.
I know. Now that I have, what do they call it, expendable income or whatever? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with the quarantine stuff, I don't want to do anything that's would get me in trouble.
You know,
I don't want to be a bad, bad host. And we'd have to learn how to record shows ahead of time or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have to learn how to record from the road, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I do learn quite a bit of this. Luckily, I listened to another podcast called The Remnant from Jonah Goldberg. And he wrote for National Review, and now he's got this whole thing of his own. It's mostly on politics and culture, but his daughter is graduating from college or high school and going off to college. So they do this family trip every year thing. So they went to, because he still wanted to get out of the Washington, D.C. area. He went to Austin, and you could only imagine the time he went to Austin was when they were getting smacked with all that snow. Mm. So he was like recording his podcast from his hotel room where him and his daughter barely could find any food. And so it was like a constant fight to find food because like all the restaurants were closed. Everything was snowed in. You couldn't get in and out of town. So it can be done if I do go on spring break. Pack up the gear and we'll still record from wherever I'm going.
Yeah, just go.
So we'll have to see what state is open enough to let me out. That's all I care. But I have to also wait till my second shot for my vaccine and all that good stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that first and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then go buck wild.
And then start moving around.
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough about us, Dana, unless you had something big go over your weekend. Anything going on last weekend for you?
Last weekend? Yeah. Sleep.
Okay. Well, that's good. In that case, then you're going to be even more charged up to listen to the news.
The news.
I think we need a little sound effect for that. I'm going to have to get someone to record
that. We should get one. Yeah.
Yeah, with someone with a much deeper voice than mine. Let's see here. Let's go with news item number one. So Federal Student Aid put out an electronic announcement last Friday offering clarification of R2T4 guidance related to the COVID-19 national emergency. The new announcement relates back to an electronic announcement from May 15th announcing waivers of R2T4 or return of Title IV fund requirements for students affected by the national emergency. That announcement explained that colleges are required to waive returns for students that we determine began attendance and then withdrew as a result of COVID-19 during payment periods or periods of enrollment during this whole emergency. The new announcement reminds colleges of these requirements that were in the May 15th announcement, offers up some examples, gives information on the processes you must endure to be compliant, and give students the necessary waivers to lessen their burdens when they've withdrawn from classes due to COVID. We'll include a link to the new electronic announcement in our show notes for you all.
And here's some more good news from another FSA electronic announcement. The U.S. Department of Education has designated the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, as an entity that may use FAFSA data. Because the USDA supports the awarding of a federal benefit program in the form of SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, FAFSA data, specifically the EFC, or Expected Family Contribution, and federal work-study eligibility and students' email address can be used to communicate with students about their possible eligibility for the temporary expansion of SNAP benefits. So the U.S. Department of Education will email students who have an EFC of zero. Students can use this email to let local and state SNAP agencies know of this, which can be used by the agency to determine SNAP eligibility. Now, they won't confirm eligibility for federal work study in the email, but colleges can still do this in the form of a letter or award offer if the student needs this type of documentation. For more on this, check out the link in our show notes to the electronic announcement.
Yeah, this is really good news, isn't it, Dana?
Oh, I assume
you've had some inquiries from students because there's, you know, we different agencies and other things have been getting the word out about the extra eligibility for including students. SNAP, you know, what used to be called food stamps. And there was a lot of confusion I could hear in our financial aid director circle across the state, really, about how to get that info. Well, can they just use their award letter? Can they, can they print their results of their FAFSA, what we call a SAR, student aid report, and all these other things. But it's good that something came straight from the Department of Ed. Where they're going to communicate to students and then just let them know that they can use that information to potentially get SNAP benefits.
So specifically for our campus, Dennis.
Yes.
I know, you know, the director of our ASO, he is a liaison for the SNAP program.
Yes.
So they actually reached out to us and they have created a letter for students. And then myself being the coordinator of the federal work study program, all I have to do is just include my information, like my contact information on there. And then I can send it out to our federal work study students if they're interested in participating in the program. And then they can use that as their proof of their participation in the federal work study program.
Oh, good. Yeah, because even work study is confusing because, you know, some schools take it from the point of view that if the student could be eligible for work study, you know, they have financial need, we'll say, you know, after they've gotten other aid, they got their FAFSA results, and then trying to send them information. Some schools, because they award federal work study to just about everybody, you know, and then just whoever comes in for the jobs they obviously hire, they send them the award offers again. So, yeah, there's a couple different approaches going on out
there. Of how they're doing it.
And we, of course, as a quiz for our listeners out there in California and beyond, what do we call our SNAP benefits here in California?
Do you want me to say it?
Yes.
Oh, CalFresh.
That's right. We call it CalFresh.
CalFresh.
Which I assume means that it's some new acronym that's eight letters, eight words long. California always loves fresh, real, edible, super habaneros. It had to be something like a spicy thing, I would think.
I honestly just thought they were just being cool. Like,
it could
be a fresh
be.
Program.
You know, like, it probably. You know, it probably is. I just made that up, everyone. All right, Dana. I believe we talked about this item that I'm going to bring up on a prior episode, but the change over the IFAP website is coming soon. We noted that the U.S. Department of Education is closing down the IFAP website, which is the Information for Financial Aid Professionals website, and replacing it with a new website named FSA Partner Connect. This will have all the IFAP information and more for financial aid professionals. So the new new electronic announcement released last week Thursday noted that no new information will be posted to the IFAP website as of last Friday. And this continues through Sunday, March 28th, when supposedly the new website will launch away. So don't expect to see new stuff there. Everything is still out there, though, if you're looking for it from before. So starting Monday, March 29th, if you try to access the IFAP website, you'll be redirected to the new Knowledge Center at the FSA Partner Connect website. And that website's fsapartners.ed.gov/knowledge-center. I know it's a long one, so we'll include a link to this in our show notes. And for more information on the transition, we'll include a link to the electronic announcement from last week.
You know, Dennis, there's also some good news coming out from the California Student Aid Commission, so we can stop giving free time to the feds for a while. CSAC posted their March newsletter on the Grant Delivery System Modernization Project. There's a lot of good information in the newsletter, including updates on where they are in the project in regards to modernizing web grants, including updates in the system that we, the colleges, will see. To read more on the GDSM, check out the link in our show notes.
Sounds like a good idea. And you know what else was another good idea here?
Is it time for our second cup?
That it is. Let's have a little music.
Awesome. And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. And of course, Dana is a busy woman, so phones are just ringing everywhere.
What can I say?
Oh, that is so funny. Oh, that's
that
so funny.
Is hilarious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I get the next item here then. So here's some good news from CSAC also. Considering we've passed the March 2nd deadline for the 2021-2022 FAFSA and DREAM Act submissions for Cal Grant consideration, Special Alert GSA 2021-09 announced how colleges may request a deadline postponement to allow students to submit their FAFSAs or DREAM Acts after the deadline and still be considered for Cal Grant. Students can have an additional 30 calendar days if they were unable to submit their forms due to disruptions caused by the pandemic or other qualifying event. There are some caveats, though. Colleges need to submit a letter by April 1st that describes the qualifying event and how it impacted the student's ability to submit their FAFSA or CADA before March 2nd. They also need to include a list of events, like financial aid outreach events and such, that were canceled or delayed due to the qualifying event. And then, of course, include any data that can quantify the reduction of students who completed their FAFSA or CADA. And then lastly, colleges need to submit a letter signed by their district superintendent, president, or chancellor, whoever's at the top of the heap. CSAC has created a form that can be used in lieu of sending a letter. We'll have a link in our show notes to the special alert announcement that has all of this information and all of the details.
So, Dennis, remember last week when we reported that UC Davis was giving gift cards to local businesses in order to keep students in town during spring break?
I remember that. I wanted to get in on it.
Yeah, me too. Well, apparently the idea is spreading. In an article on the EdSource website, UC Santa Cruz will give Grubhub gift cards to any student who participates in an on-campus scavenger hunt. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I guess with spring break for most UC campuses occurring this week, the scavenger hunt is part of the plan to keep students in town and away from the big party spots for spring breakers. This was in counterpoint to the police breaking up a party of hundreds of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, many of who were not wearing masks. Mm. Now, these students were not on spring break, but were instead celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Getting it a little early there.
Yeah, they jumped the gun, you know. No. What it is it's the pre-show. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we'll include a link in our show notes to EdSource article on this.
Yeah, it's surprising. Even when St. Patrick's Day is in the middle of the week, people apparently don't care.
Man, where there's a will, there's a way.
That's true, yeah. Oh, there's a holiday to celebrate. And what's it going to do to you? Probably wipe you out for the next day. Oh, okay. Oh, it's on a Wednesday, too. Oh, okay. Which also almost marked, like, the exact year from, you know, all the shutdown stuff, too, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see now. We'll hear, of course, of the St. Patrick's Day spike again in numbers. Unless you were one of these restaurants, hopefully, or bars that made people show their vaccination cards. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you get the green beer, everybody.
That's the only way. Or, and now you can get your free Krispy Kreme donut, too.
Yes, I just saw that. What a great deal. Mm-hmm. I know. I got to get that. Get my last shot this week, so... We'll be heading right over. Uh-huh. I'll map it out in the car. But anyways, Dana, I'm not sure if I should even mention this news item at all. Not because it's from NASFA, and you know they get plenty of free time from us, but because it talks about salaries for financial aid professionals. So NASFA, for decades now, has done benchmarking surveys about financial aid administrators and offices. From the surveys, they put out biannual reports on the earnings of people with similar roles that helps make up their staffing model. But due to the pandemic, they did not do their survey in 2020 and instead worked with the College and University Professional Association for Human Resources to create a brief with updated information meant for publication in this year. So, Dana, if you're interested, I'll put a link in our show notes so that you can compare how wildly overpaid you are compared to all your counterparts across the state and nation.
Does that sound funny? That is funny.
Yeah, I have a feeling you'll look at that and go, oh, my goodness. Oh my, this is what all the other financial aid technicians get paid across the state? Oh, my.
I'm pretty sure Miss Victoria will beg to differ there.
Well, yes, I'm sure she will, but...
it's always
interesting.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, if you can't increase my pay, you can at least send me to some training.
Yes, I can.
Yes, uh-huh. So NASFA just posted their full 2021-2022 schedule for NASFA U online courses, with the first one coming in July. The courses cover a lot of ground, including R2T4, verification, fundamentals, cash management, and more. And I'd get to interact with colleagues and work toward earning a NASFA professional credential or NASFA U certificate. For more on this, check out the link to the training in our show notes. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's one of those things, again, like we're going to need to give them more free publicity. But if you sign up with NASFA as a member, and yes, they cost a little bit of money, it's based upon the size of your school, for one, and how many students that you serve. But at least it's an institutional membership. They offer so much great training like this. You know, last Friday when you were out and away and I was interviewing Anna Faye, you know, Anna Faye has done and is still working on and hopes to complete them all these NASFA U certificate programs.
She's on the level.
Yes. She definitely is. I told her, you know, she's working through, because also her and others, once you get trained and certified, NASFA then can use you to do training sessions later, like some of their webinars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did tell her, though, you know, the bad news was that, you know, I think we reported on this maybe months ago, the director of financial aid at University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee had done all their training things. He had all the certificates.
Wow.
So I told her she wouldn't be the first one. She's like, oh, there's some others out there too now that are in the same road, same route. So apparently this is a thing. So Dana, if you feel this is what you want to do,
let's go. Let's do it.
We'll get you signed up for all these NASFA U certificates. And then you can work your way to being the certified financial aid administrator. That sounds
certified.
Fun.
I like that.
Yeah. Definitely you'll be certified at the end.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
If anybody knows what that means.
I have a feeling though, because you mentioned that once I'm certified, I get to facilitate
you can do trainings, yes.
But they, you know, I don't know if I'll stay on topic though.
That's true. You'll do it in podcast fashion.
Yeah, I think I would.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Look, you
I have
know,
a feeling I would this would happen. Yeah. Yes.
Look, you've got the nice microphone. You got the great setup. You can have a little theme music like we do here on the show. Why not? You know, I you know, for those who did go to the conference, our Seeds for Conference this year, you know, we had a lot of pre-recorded sessions. So on two of them that I did for the round tables, I actually did give them a little music in the background at the start and end to make it a little more like a podcast.
Yeah.
And everyone enjoys that. In fact, I enjoyed so much. I'm going to play some music right now so we can move on to the last part of the show. See, and look at that. And just like that, we are back for the last sip, everyone. That really is a noisy sound effect, but I like it.
I like it too.
I guess we can never replace it.
Mm.
No. So, Dana, here in our last few minutes, do you have any awesome I Dare You To selections to give to our listeners?
Yeah. So, Dennis, you may have heard, and for those of you that are listening, Obama and Bruce Springsteen, they have a podcast called Renegades.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, yeah, definitely check it out. It's pretty interesting. So, you know, they talk about the similarities they have in their backgrounds and how they grew up. And I believe the most recent episode, they talk about their fathers.
Oh, okay.
Yes, And you know, about masculinity and you know, growing up. And so, yeah, definitely, you know, check it out and let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, if it's got Bruce Springsteen on it in particular, especially if they'll use some of his some of his music occasionally on it, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's president. It's not Michelle Obama, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Barack Obama.
Okay,
yeah.
Just because I you know, I see her name in the news a lot. I know she does a lot of
and she media. And her podcast is actually very good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys get a chance, check hers out too.
Okay. Okay. But no, that's interesting. Yeah, I could see those two guys, you know, sitting down and talking things.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to remember. And I didn't know this as a kid because obviously the first real Bruce Springsteen record that you hear anything on radio would have been Born to Run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, what, maybe early 80s, I'm going to say? Because it was high schoolish time. So like early, mid 80s. But he goes back into the 70s, you know, and I've got a couple of his box sets of like one, you know, when they do the box set with the alternate takes in the early songs, you know, back into the 70s, you know, with him and the E Street Band and all. So he's been around going, getting closer to the 50 year mark now.
Yes.
In the music, in the music world, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sounds like a very interesting show coming up.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And like I said, they have some really good conversations and, and they have this, they have a real friendship. So that's what makes it even cooler. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think back. I can't remember. Did Bruce maybe play at the inauguration or anything like that?
That's how they met.
And
it was during his presidency.
Okay. I know how sometimes, you know, different presidents and incoming presidents hook into like certain songs and such with certain artists and then they'll play the inauguration. So, okay. Cool, everyone. So don't worry about the politics stuff. Just listen to the music and hear about their upbringing. I think that's the way to take this in.
Yeah, they talk about their lives, right? And I mean, the politics, you know, it's got to, you know, they got to, you know, it's going to bring it up, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, mostly, like I said, it's them on a personal level.
Good. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Well, that's better than my I Dare You To selection. Mine's just a dull old book. So a friend and I were talking about in particular, just hanging around because cigar shops open for limited business now. We're talking about investments and like doing an investment club thing.
Okay.
Not specifically like money for stock investment, for some other stuff. And I'm like, well, I wonder if there's any research out there. So there's some websites and stuff like that. But I found one little book called Rich on 50. So it's about like $50 a month. That's what they're talking about. Rich on 50. How to start an investment club and build wealth with friends for as little as $50 a month. So the good thing is it does have kind of the topics that we wanted to cover as far as, you know, how you set up an actual organization for this. Because if you think about it, like me and you, Dana, if we decided to do an investment club, there's only two of us. We put in the same amount every month. We probably don't need to set ourselves up with bylaws. We probably don't need to create ourselves an LLC. We probably don't need to create officers and do a whole lot of financials and stuff like that because it'd be pretty low key. But the book does go into other things about if you're going to have more than a couple people, you know, all the things that you really want to make sure that you're doing to protect you and your fellow friends in the club.
Right. So
it was a nice little book. There's not a whole lot of books out there, amazingly. But I found this one, and this was the coolest part I found at the end of the book. So I bought this book over the weekend, not last weekend, the weekend before. And it's one of these that are obviously print on demand by Amazon. Because I ordered the book on like the 13th, which would have been like not last Saturday, Saturday before. In the back of the book, made in the USA, Las Vegas, Nevada, 14 March 2021. So like it's like as soon as I hit that button on the website, next thing you know, a book is coming out the other end.
Man, isn't that something?
And it's got a nice cover and it's all regularly bound and cut properly and all. So that was very interesting.
And I can co-sign on that because I can see it, everybody.
Listening. Yes, it's a flippy floppy paperback. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I normally like hardcover, not all books are hardcover books, but don't judge your book by its hard soft cover. I know. That was horrible. And because of that, then, Dana, you know what I have to say? That I think we've had enough time for today and that there's always time for our next episode. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say, or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com and Spotify and Pandora and iHeartRadio. And, of course, the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 75, recorded the morning of Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.